Have all members voted? Senator Josephson has shown an inclination to vote on the right this morning. Something new?
I'm learning.
Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 19 senators present this morning. Senator Eliason is excused from the call of Senate today.
May we stand for the invocation by Rabbi Plotnick?
Mr. President, this is a national day of prayer. And according to that, this particular prayer has been requested. I call it the Ketchikan prayer from the distinguished senior senator. The Ketchikan is one of which former members of this body have participated in, and the new members are most welcome to, as well as members of the gallery. Only 21 words, so it's shorter than the explanation. I will make three statements, and hopefully you will agree in the affirmative. You will respond by saying, "That's right. That's right." And then I will ask a question, very simple, two-word question. And again, in the affirmative, you would respond by saying, "I am." So, cheek, minus. That's right, and I am. Okay, in the gallery, please participate. Let's pray. Life is good.
That's right.
God is good.
That's right.
Food is good.
That's right.
Who's grateful?
I am.
Amen.
Senator Gilman.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that prayer be spread on the journey.
Without objection.
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journal for the 108th legislative day.
For the 108th legislative day, be approved as certified.
Objection, so ordered. Are there guests? Are there guests for induction? We have messages from the governor.
Message of May 4, dear Mr. President, I have signed the following bill and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. CS for House Bill Number 336, Finance, an act making special appropriations to the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation and providing for an effective date. Chapter 15, Session Laws 1983, sincerely, Bill Sheffield, Governor. That is the only message from the Governor today.
We have messages from the House.
Message of May 4, the House passed the following. Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 99, Finance, making a supplemental appropriation to the Office of the Governor, Division of Elections, and providing for an effective date. This has been sent to enrolling. Message of May 4, the House passed the following and transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for House Bill Number 89, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act repealing the tax credit for political contributions, providing for the payment of credits and contributions made prior to the effective date of the repeal, and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs Finance.
CS for House Bill Number 162, CNRA, by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to limits on terms certain municipal officials may serve.
Community and Regional Affairs Judiciary.
CS for House Bill Number 271, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act repealing an appropriation made to the Agricultural Action Council, making special appropriations to and for the operation of the Alaska Grain Reserve Loan Fund, and providing for an effective date.
Resources, Finance.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 312, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to harming a police dog, and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary Committee.
Those are the messages from the House.
Are the reports, are the communications?
There are no communications.
Reports to standing committees?
The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Senate Bill Number 26, providing for immunity from civil liability for certain persons who render services in response to hazardous materials emergencies. And a majority of the committee recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Josephson, Chairman, concurring Senators Moss and Halford. Senate Bill 26 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill Number 133, making corrective amendments to the Alaska statutes as recommended by the Revisor of Statutes, and recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute with a new fiscal note. Signed, Senator Ray, Chairman, concurring Senators Ziegler and Pettyjohn. SB 133 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 215, authorizing the use of Alaska Permanent Fund income to pay longevity bonuses, amending the longevity bonus program and the permanent fund dividend distribution program, and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute with a new fiscal note. And a majority do pass, signed Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Mulcahy, Josephson, Ferguson, Vic Fisher, Sackett. Senator Fake signed no recommendation. SB 215 has no further referral.
Rules Committee for placement on calendar.
The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Senate Bill Number 224, Establishment of Prison Facilities, and recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute. Senator Josephson, chairman, and Senator Moss signed do pass. Senator Halford signed do not pass. SB 224 has a further referral to finance. The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 230, Permanent Fund Dividend Distribution Program, and recommends do pass with a new fiscal note. Signed Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Mulcahy, Vic Fisher, Ferguson, Josephson, and Sackett. Senator Fake signed no recommendation. Senate Bill 230 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill Number 281, Energy, Development, and Conservation Functions of the Department of Commerce and Economic Development and the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute, with the majority do pass and a new fiscal note. Signed, Senator Mulcahy, Vice Chairman, concurring Senator Sackett. Senator Rohde signed a recommendation. SB 281 has a further referral to finance. The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill Number 48, Adoption of Regulations for State Retirement Systems, and recommends that the Judiciary Committee substitute be adopted, and recommends calendaring on May 5. Signed, Senator Fakes, Chairman, concurring Senators Ferguson, Bennett, Ray, and Kelly. This does appear on today's calendar. The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill Number 57, limiting the adjustment of retirement benefits, and recommends it be calendared on May 5, and the State Affairs Committee substitute be adopted. Signed, Senator Fakes, Chairman, concurring Senators Ferguson, Bennett, Ray, and Kelly. This also appears on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports.
Are the reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
There is a resolution for introduction.
Senate Resolution Number 5 by Senator Bennett, authorizing a study of the Certificate of Need Program.
Finance Committee.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 26 by Senator Ferguson, relating to the feasibility of creating local advisory boards.
Health, Education, and Social Services.
Those are the new resolutions.
There is a bill for introduction this morning.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 226 by Senator Vic Fisher, an act relating to driver's licenses, curfews, and license revocations, and providing for an effective date.
It was State Affairs, Judiciary, and Finance originally. Same referrals.
That was the only new bill.
Takes us to the daily calendar this morning. Will the Secretary please read Senate Bill 48 by title?
Senate Bill Number 48 by Senator Ray, an act relating to the adoption of regulations for state retirement systems. The State Affairs Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute and do pass. Signed, Senator Vic Fisher, chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Strzelczewski, Ray, and Rohde. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute judiciary with a zero preliminary fiscal note and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Ray, chairman, concurring Senators Ziegler, Josephson, and Eliason. Senator Pettyjohn signed no recommendation.
Senator Ray.
Move the Judiciary Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection.
Explanation. I'm wondering just what the difference is between the State Affairs and the Judiciary Committee substitute.
Senator Ray.
The difference is that the provision for emergency regulations is put in the Judiciary Committee substitute. That's the only difference.
Is there further objection to adoption of committee substitute? There is none. Committee substitutes adopted. Secretary will read the bill.
CS for Senate Bill Number 48, Judiciary by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the adoption of regulations for state retirement systems.
Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
Senator Ray.
In the absence of amendments, I move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 48, Judiciary, be considered engrossed of its third reading, placed in final passage.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary read.
CS for Senate Bill Number 48, Judiciary, an act relating to the adoption of regulations for state retirement systems.
You may proceed, Senator Ingram.
Mr. President, what this, this looks like a long bill and a complicated, but actually it isn't. It's just a repeating in different sections of the statutes. It's amending section 14, 22, and 39. What it does is it just provides for the publishing of regulations in public buildings, in newspapers, and mailed to groups that are interested, such as the teacher's retirement, the state employee's retirement, and EPOR's retirement. And also the legislature has a exclusion in here for emergency rules, and that's about the sum total of the bill.
You have the floor, Senator Pettyjohn.
Mr. President, in a letter dated March 15th of this year, from J.K. Humphreys, Director of Division of Retirement and Benefits, and Lisa Rudd, Commissioner of Administration. They state that they are complying or in the process of complying with all the requirements that are set forth in this bill. And they state further, quote, there are no objections to the procedures the division is following or plans to follow being incorporated into the law. However, it appears unnecessary. So this will simply be an addition to the Alaska statutes, which is, in that sense, superfluous. The we're solving a problem that doesn't exist and doing unprovoked good, and I don't see any necessity for this legislation.
Senator Ray?
Essentially not correct. The assumptions that the gentleman made are correct in as what the Department of Administration has said, but the old story, promises, promises, promises. And the reason that this bill has been entered is because the department didn't do anything about publishing the administrative regulations until the Blue Ribbon Commission brought it to their mind, and even at that time they promised for 2 years or 3 years, and they still didn't do it, so we're going to put it in the statutes to make sure that they do it for the protection of the individuals and the people who work in the state.
Mr. Affairs Chairman.
Chairman, I would like to point out that this very same question was raised when this bill was considered in State Affairs Committee, and there was quite a bit of debate. We had people from the administration, from the retirement system, testifying before us. The result was that the committee did vote a due pass on the bill, and it was signed in addition to myself by Senators Kelly, Sturgeluski, Ray, and Rohde, so that I assure you this question was looked at very carefully.
Further debate? Ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 48 pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 18 yeas, 1 nay, and 1 excused.
Senate Bill 48 has been adopted. Secretary, read Senate Bill 57 by title.
Senate Bill Number 57 by the Rules Committee, by request of the Legislative Council for the Blue Ribbon Commission on the State Personnel Act, an act limiting the adjustment of retirement benefits and providing for an effective date. The State Affairs Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute with a zero fiscal note. Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, and Senators Rohde and Ray signed no recommendation. Senators Kelly and Sturgeluski signed do pass.
Are there amendments?
There is a committee substitute.
State Affairs Chairman.
Chairman, I move the State Affairs Committee substitute be adopted.
There's no objection. State Affairs Committee substitute is adopted. Secretary, read the bill.
CS for Senate Bill Number 57, State Affairs, by the State Affairs Committee, an act limiting the adjustment of retirement benefits and providing for an effective date.
Bill is. Committee substitute has been adopted. Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
Absence of amendments, Senator Ray.
Consent to committee substitute for Senate Bill 57, State Affairs, be considered engrossed with that third reading, place the time of passage.
Objection. So ordered. Secretary, read the bill in third reading.
CS for Senate Bill Number 57, State Affairs, an act limiting the adjustment of retirement benefits and providing for an effective date.
The bill is before you for discussion and debate. Senator Ray.
Mr. President, this was another problem that reoccurred with the retirement system, in that people were, that had been overpaid through no fault of their own after a period of some 4 or 5 years, were required to pay back the money. As a result, the retirement benefits were the only thing the only form of their maintenance. And as a result, for example, they had this little old lady in Squim, Washington, they found out that over a period of some 10 years, she had been overpaid on her retirement through no fault of her own and through an error in the computer system of the Department of Personnel. And the existing law said, well, we're sorry, and we realize all that, but there's no way we can do it. We just have to recover the amount due. And the amount due was in the neighborhood of some $8,000 or $9,000. And it would just have taken away any of her support money or her money that was necessary to retire. So that was the prime mover of the legislation, and then subsequent to that, there were several other horror stories about on the same category that would show that there were problems. So in order to remedy those, we came up with a proposal making a 2-year limitation on pay back. If the department doesn't find out in 2 years, then they have no means to recover. Also, if the error was not the result of the beneficiary, and it was the fault of the department, and then through a compromise, if the member or beneficiary did not have reason to believe that he was being overpaid. In other words, if you had retired and you knew what your state retirement was on a 20-year basis, and you had retired after 15 years, and you were being paid on a 20-year basis, and you knew that it was, then they can recover the money from you. I think it is a needed bill, and it's one that will, again, relieve some of the pressures on people who have retired, and that's their only means of support, and they can't maintain it unless they get it, and through no fault of their own or through no error on their part or through an error of the state, they've been overpaid.
For debate, you have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, a question through the chair for either the Senator from Juneau or anyone else that would care to respond. My question is with regard to Section B on line 10 of page 1 of this bill, does that language mean that the state is going to be required to continue to make overpayments once the error has been discovered? In other words, in addition to the prohibition of collecting past overpayments, does it also require the state to continue making overpayments in the future?
No, it's not. This is
the recovery of overpayments of benefits, that's all.
State Affairs Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, if I might clarify that a little bit further. In fact, it does, it permits recovery of overpayments made as far back as up to 2 years. So it certainly would not provide for future overpayments.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Senate Bill 57 as amended pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. If all members voted, does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close vote.
The roll shows 19 yeas, 1 excused.
Bill 57 has passed the Senate, Senator Rain.
I would move to ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of committee substitute for Senate Bill 57 State Affairs be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Objection. So ordered. Effective date clause has been adopted. We're at the citation calendar. Secretary.
Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator.
May we have a brief at ease?
We'll be at ease. Senator Gilman.
Moving to ask unanimous consent to revert to introduction of guests.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. President, in the gallery behind me are two gentlemen who are here working on some problems connected with the Cook Inlet Setnet fishery. I'd like to introduce to you Doug Blossom from Manilchik and Dwayne Edelman from Soldotna. And also, Mr. President, in the gallery behind me is a gentleman from Kenai who is here as a representative of the Kenai Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Ed Garnett.
We welcome you here this morning. Secretary, read the citation calendar.
Citations in memoriam James Edward Duncan by Senator Ziegler and Representatives McBride and Wente. A citation honoring Soldotna's future problem-solving team by Senators Paul Fisher and Gilman and Representative Fritz M. Malone.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and the publication notice requirement on the citation in the memoriam of Bishop Francis D. Gleason be waived and the citation be taken up as special order of business at this time.
Without objection, so ordered. Will the secretary read the citation in total? Please read the citation.
A citation, or in memoriam, Bishop Francis D. Gleason. The members of the 13th Legislature and all Alaskans mourn the recent death of a recognized leader and builder of the Catholic faith in Alaska, retired Bishop Francis D. Gleason. Born in 1895 in Missouri, Bishop Gleason was ordained in 1926 following studies in California, Washington, and Spain. He taught school for 10 years in the Pacific Northwest before coming to Alaska in 1947. Headquartered at Juneau, Bishop Gleason was the last bishop to have the entire state of Alaska as a diocese, an enormous and taxing responsibility. The magnitude of the area makes even more amazing the fact that during his 20 years as leader of the church in Alaska, nearly every mission in the territory was rebuilt and new ones were added. It was Bishop Gleason who was responsible for the eventual creation of three dioceses in Alaska. Throughout his lifetime, Bishop Gleason was devoted to all the people of Alaska, regardless of faith. He was known in every corner of the territory for his warmth and genuine interest in the lives of those he served. He was devoted to the furtherance of education and is directly responsible for lay volunteer programs and for the construction of schools. Bishop Francis D. Gleason used his boundless energies and enthusiasm, his skill and devotion to reshape the Alaska he loved. We will be forever in debt to this man of God for the gifts he has given those of us who carry on his fine work. Requested by Representatives Davis, Vaska, and Ringsted, and Senators Varenkamp, Bennett, Moss, Strzelczewski, Ray, Krutula, Kelly, Paul Fisher, and Vic Fisher.
Senator Sackett.
My name added to
it. Sorry. Senator Mulcahy. Senator Halford, Senator Penny John. Senator Rohde. Senator Ray.
I would move the citation calendar be approved as read.
Objection. Citation calendar has been adopted. Takes us to unfinished business. Finance Chairman.
Ask unanimous consent that Finance Committee referral be waived on Senate Bill 93, establishing an endowment for the University of Alaska.
Senate Bill 93, rules. Are there further items under unfinished business? Committee meeting announcements. Mr. Finance Chairman.
The Finance Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 8:30, taking up Senate Bill 256, Sheldon Jackson Museum, Senate Bill 190, Wrangell Totem Restoration, Senate Bill 132, establishing the Alaska Administrative Journal, Senate Bill 80, extending life on the Task Force of Fire Prevention, also the companion bill, Senate Bill 81, for appropriation of that. Also, we will take up Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute, HCR 15, establishing a joint committee on oil and gas. Also, Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 314, which is the appropriation bill for HCR 15. Also, we'll take up SCR 5, requesting DOT to upgrade the Petersburg Road. Also, SCR 6, encouraging the upgrading of the Old Glenn Highway. We hope to be back here by 10 o'clock.
Merry Christmas. You have the floor, Mr. Fisbury, Chairman.
Mr. President, State Affairs will meet at 3 o'clock today in the Butrovich Room to take up SB 266, International Airport Revenue Bonds. This is a continuation of a previous hearing. Also, take up drunk driving and related issues, SB 61, SB 226, and HB 17.
You have the floor, Mr. Transportation Chairman.
Mr. President, we have this afternoon at 1:30 in the Butrovich Room, there are five bills that we will consider that have previously been heard. Senate Bill 144, Senate Bill 264, Committee Substitute HB 240, Senate Bill 217, and Senate Concurrent Resolution 16. We've heard these bills before, and perhaps we can take final action on them in the Transportation Committee today. Thank you, sir.
What time?
1:30.
Thank you. 30. Finance Chairman?
Yeah, we are free to be.
We will be at ease. Please come back to order. You have the floor.
Unanimous consent that we revert to introduction.
Without objection.
I'm sorry. No, I didn't
realize
you were
standing.
That's
all right. We should revert to introduction, Senator.
Fine. Excuse me. Yes, I'd like to introduce someone that
came in. Sandy Hauser, who's with the Fur Rendezvous and has been very active in community affairs in Anchorage for a good number of years. Sandy?
Welcome. Senator Bennett.
Thank you. Under announcements again, Senate Bill 124, Act amending the Ag Loan Act. We've had that under hearings in the Finance Committee before. We'll be taking up again tomorrow morning.
Senator Rohde?
The Minority Caucus immediately following today's session in the Butkovich Room.
Caucus Chairman.
The Leadership Caucus tomorrow on adjournment.
Tomorrow on adjournment. Senator Mulcahy?
Just a reminder that Labor and Commerce will be meeting this afternoon at 1:30. The chairman has posted the bill.
Senator Alford?
President, I serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on committee substitute for Senate Bill 57, State Affairs.
Reconsideration been noted. Judiciary Chairman?
The Department of Law will present a briefing for interested legislators on major oil and gas litigation. This briefing will be held in the Governor's Conference Room on Friday, May 6th from 3 to 3:30. And all members are requested or invited to attend.
It's a notation from the Attorney General. Are there items under special orders this morning? Senator Ferguson has the floor.
Mr. President, I ask unanimous consent that I be allowed the floor to speak on an AP story that came out yesterday on the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation.
You have the floor, Senator Ferguson. There's no objection.
Yesterday, the Associated Press released a story concerning the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation and their financing. Recently, this body deliberated on House Bill 336, which would have required the HFC to come under direct accountability of the legislature as prescribed by our state constitution. It comes as no surprise to me that the AP story yesterday revealed that the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation has discovered an additional $60 million in their loan program. $60 million that was deliberately withheld from the legislature until after the deliberations held on House Bill 336. The executive director of AHFC withheld the information from the legislature after saying time after time that he wanted to provide all the financial information to the legislature. When asked time and again about the state subsidy for this year, he would respond with a completely inaccurate account. The AP story quotes the executive director as saying he knew of the additional $60 million as late as 6 weeks ago. This deliberate withholding of information raises again, Mr. President, the serious issue of accountability of AHFC. Although they provide the legislature with a prospectus without accurate figures as presently constructed, neither the governor nor the legislature really knows anything about the corporation's financing. It's been estimated by the year 1990, $7 million bonded indebtedness will be owed by that corporation. I feel that we need to get a handle on HFC and it needs to be done this year. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Ray?
No other business comes before the Senate. I move we adjourn to 10 a.m. Friday, May 6th.